from the WEEI studios. 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. We're always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yesterday, we met and mutually agreed to part ways amicably. And like a good marriage, a successful head coach-owner relationship requires a lot of hard work. And I'm very proud that our partnership lasted for 24 years. I don't think in the NFL there's been any other partnership that lasted longer and has been as productive as ours.
Final hour, Jones and Mego with Arcan here on WEEI. We are live today in the Ford Clubhouse Fenway studio, and we're brought to you by your New England Ford dealers. Now, during Truck Month, you can get a great deal on Ford F-Series, America's best-selling trucks, for 47 years straight, and the official truck of your Boston Red Sox. We've been going around the horn on this a few different times here on Jones and Mego with Arcan. We've been discussing the latest up now at ESPN from Don Van Natta, Seth Wickersham, and Jeremy Fowler, who's going to join us momentarily here. Voted off the island inside Bill Belichick's failed job hunt. What was that for? Did I say around the horn? Is that why?
Sure did.
We're giving out points. Nice. We've been asking all day, and our big question of the game up now, big question of the day, rather, up now at Jones and Mego. Will Bill Belichick ever be a head coach again in the NFL? That number has gone up slightly from the beginning of the show. We were like 51-49. It's now over 52%, so it's slight. Why are you smiling over there, Mego?
The Super PAC is listening. Thank you. I love you. I see you. I appreciate you.
I'll tell you, Scal is clearly not a member of the Super PAC at all.
Well, Scal doesn't like old people. I've never met someone who's retired, even though he is in the NBA.
That was a wild answer. Our buddy John in the car in the Twitch chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, if you want to watch along or chat along. I don't know. Old people is such a typical Scal take.
He's like, isn't it weird when an older person decides to retire? It's not for me to say, but it's just strange, isn't it?
Then we named several people that he knows that are retired, and he was like...
Including himself!
Yeah, right.
Including himself.
I mean, he's still working, technically.
But yeah, I guess. But anyway, that's what old people do. They retire, is what they do. So that's what Bill Belichick kind of is sort of doing. He's in, like, pseudo-retirement. One other... There's a couple of things I haven't gotten to from the tail end of this story, and when Jeremy's on the line, we'll discuss with him. But Bill is pissed, like many in his inner circle, according to ESPN. He quietly observed the attacks of the Patriot Way in recent months. Let me just tell you what he's talking about there. The Dynasty, through Belichick's job hunt and fallout from that docuseries. A lot of people are pissed, a Belichick confidant said. His name was smeared. I agree with that, but apparently, just so you know, that's how Bill feels as well. This year, Belichick plans to travel abroad. I feel like there's just something sad about that. Like, Bill's just, like, finally getting to see the world.
Semester at sea.
Yeah, it's just like there's something a little sad about it. Like, on one level, you should be like, oh, great, he's going to go see the world, and he's going to go be relaxed. But you know he's going to have, like, no interest in that.
He's like October Paris.
Yeah, he's going to be like, is NFL Europe still a thing? Can I watch the Rhine Fire when we're over here? Like, you know, he's still going to be, like, so football-obsessed. And who's he traveling with, I wonder? That's what I'm curious about. You can speak to football programs around the country and writing a book, though not, and this is important to underscore, because I think some people think this book is going to, like, be Bill versus Kraft. Ohh.
No, it's going to be The Art of Boar.
It's not, exactly. It's not a tell-all memoir, but a football leadership guide. The Model is one of the books that influenced Bill most, Finding the Winning Edge, Bill Walsh's 550 pages to put his football genius on paper. And there's an anecdote in there that I cut off, but it's something like, well, you know, why are you going to put all your secrets in a book? And Bill's like, well, I can put anything out there. The magic is me. I'm the magic, which means he still believes in himself, that arrogance that Robert Kraft was talking about and ripped him behind his back to Arthur Blank and maybe everybody else around the league. That's still there. He still has that arrogance about himself.
That warms my heart. I like that for him, that he still has that self-belief. Even while he's in Paris in October.
Being a passport, bro.
Exactly. So we're joined now on the Harbor One Hotline by Jeremy Fowler of ESPN. Jeremy, what's going on today?
Hey, everyone. Thanks for having me.
Well, of course, we've been reading today from your latest, along with Don Van Natta and Seth Wickersham, how Patriots legend Bill Belichick is now out of a job. You guys portrayed it as him being voted off the island. Do you think he's ever going to work in the NFL again? There's a source quoted in there that thinks the one destination could be Dallas. Do you see him coaching there or anywhere else ever again?
Well, the people I've spoken to and people sort of in that coaching circle and industry do believe that he'll at least get a hard look or two, multiple interviews, at least one interview. And, you know, look, maybe he'll age well, right? You're coming off a year where he's in the shadows. He can sort of, you know, rebuild his image a little bit by making appearances like he had today in the Pat McAfee show. He has been going to colleges like Washington, Nebraska, you know, just to kind of breathe away from the game for a little bit. You know, people who are close to him that I've talked to believe that he'll be rejuvenated and ready to go and maybe even a more attractive candidate next year. So, but not everybody's sold on that. You know, that there's a feeling that you know, the Patriot way and that formula might be a little challenged and damaged a little bit. Plus, you have owners that clearly in this cycle valued collaboration, people that can work with a general manager that are, you know, probably on the younger side, up-and-coming coordinators, things like that, or people like Raheem Morris, who had a lot of backing from people around the league as a good collaborator. Even though it sounds like Bill was willing to do that in a new job, you know, the feeling is that others are maybe more equipped for that style.
Jeremy, thanks for joining us. I'm wondering, in the people that you and your colleagues spoke to, did you feel like there was more weight against Bill getting these jobs, and in particular the Atlanta job, more weight given to the sense of control that he would take over everything in the operation? Or was it more about the recent performances of the New England teams since Brady's exit? Oop, did we lose him?
Did Jeremy drop? Jeremy, hello.
Oh,
Jeremy,
hey, sorry, guys.
1, 2, 3. Oh, you're there.
There you
okay,
are.
Good. There he is.
Sorry about that. I would say it's probably a little bit of both. You know, as one source told me, that some people in Atlanta had more of a problem with Bill working there than Bill would have had working there in terms of the collaboration part. You know, like he made clear that he's willing to work with GM Terry Fontenot, that he probably would have liked the extra help and the relief that maybe he didn't always have in New England, where he kind of had to do everything. And in this scenario, he could just coach. But it's based on his style, and if teams feel like he's set in his ways, then that's easier to say than maybe to do long term. There was a feeling that if he got in the building, it might kind of revert to the way it was. And so there's that factor. And, you know, the age is a big part of it. You know, if he was in his early 60s, maybe this would be a lot different. And so, that you know, there are several factors that come into play.
Jeremy, the key part of this, I think, that's gotten a lot of people upset around here is the Robert Kraft aspect of it and the call that he made to Arthur Blank. Based on your reporting, because it seems like there was some resistance towards hiring Bill there within those walls anyway, outside of Blank. Based on your reporting, in your opinion, if Kraft hadn't made that phone call, do you think Bill would have gotten the job?
Probably not. I still think that there were enough people, can't say for sure, but I think there were enough people in the Atlanta circle that had other favorites, you know, because they essentially did take sort of a straw poll. And, you know, people had a lot of Raheem Morris, number one, and a lot of Mike McDonald, who's now the Seattle coach, and a lot of Bobby Slowick, you know. Other guys like Anthony Weaver, who's now the Dolphins defensive coordinator, made a good impression. Brian Callahan before he got the Titans job. So they interviewed a lot of people, and several were heavily in the mix and highly regarded. So yeah, I do sense in our reporting that the coming off of the yacht meeting that he had with Arthur Blank, that first interview, that there was some momentum and that he really had a realistic chance at it. Something changed. I think what loomed large in those changes is that the powers that be in Atlanta, the people in the front office, you know, just wanted to go in a different direction.
Talking to Jeremy Fowler, ESPN. He's one of the co-authors of Inside Bill Belichick's Failed Job Hunt. He was voted off the island. He co-authored it with Don Van Natta and Seth Wickersham. We've been talking about it all day here on ESPN. One story we haven't gotten to of yours that we planned on discussing more today, but then this story kind of trumped it, Jeremy, is you stacked via scouts that you talked to throughout the league. You stacked 11 different quarterbacks. And we're really interested in some of these quarterbacks at the top, from Caleb Williams really down to Bo Nix. What did you learn through that experience about these top quarterbacks and a potential fit in New England?
Yeah, so, you know, I got the chance to poll nearly two dozen people around the league and coaches, scouts, and execs, and these, you know, the feeling is things probably shook out like I thought. Not a lot of major surprises. J.J. McCarthy was really right there as like a fringe tier two, but kind of tier three guy. Like he's sort of number three and a half in the pecking order. A lot of teams I talk to, and I think New England, I believe, is probably in this boat that they have Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy in that order. Which, you know, probably makes it pretty easy to telegraph the top. But, you know, we'll see. It's the draft, and there could always be wrinkles and smoke screens. But that's sort of the feeling around the league and probably how things will shake out. It just depends on where McCarthy goes. But, you know, Michael Penix and Bo Nix are two quarterbacks that are a preference. You know, like they're probably neck and neck for that fifth quarterback spot.
Jeremy, going back to the article from today, Jonathan Kraft has been featured in a couple of Seth's reporting, reports since the season ended, and he was featured close to the top of this report that you guys had together. I'm wondering, do you get a sense from speaking to people around the Patriots and around the league how much of a role Jonathan is playing in day-to-day operations with the front office and ownership?
Well, I can't say for sure the total extent, but you know, it's been known that he's, you know, a major figure there and has been pretty hands-on for a while, is the feeling, at least league-wide. And, you know, certainly Gerard Mayo being a new coach, bringing some new energy. You know, there is a feeling there of a new vibe, which I'm trying to think of a better phrase for it. It sounds kind of cheesy, but I have heard that it feels like there are fresh ideas being kicked around there. In New England, you know, you have Elliott Wolf and Gerard Mayo and everybody else, you know, and Elliott's got his people that he's brought in. Gerard Mayo's got his staff members that can kind of follow through with his vision. And so you have a little bit of new life there after, you know, things have gotten dormant. So I'm sure Jonathan's involved in that to some extent, but it does feel like from a draft standpoint that it's Elliott's and Gerard's show.
One more before we let you go. You mentioned you believe the Patriots have the quarterback stacked: Williams, Daniels, May, McCarthy. I have surmised, and I'm curious your thoughts on this. I've surmised that, you know, at least for the Patriots, the idea of a trade back or even McCarthy is a bit of a smokescreen. How realistic is the idea the Patriots could trade back and target one of the quarterbacks outside the top three?
Well, I'll say this, and this isn't necessarily specific to New England, but I would say that the McCarthy hype does feel pretty real. I know some teams wonder if this is a Will Levis situation where he's getting pumped up as a top five pick and then all of a sudden goes in the second round, but I don't think so based on the big season he had, the pedigree. You know, he's a bigger athlete and with higher level traits than given credit for. Like, there's just teams seem to be high on him. I've talked to three different execs who think he'll go top six. So if you're even Washington, to an extent, I don't think they'll do this necessarily, but if you're like, hey, I really like J.J. McCarthy, and I do think they like him, do you try to move back from two to six or something, you know, and take him there? I think those conversations are going on because he is well-liked enough. Now, you know, at the end of the day, will he go later in the top 10? Maybe. But, you know, it really depends on where you sit. I don't get the sense New England's looking to move out right now. Certainly they would have that conversation, I imagine, and that will heat up over the next week or so. But most teams I talk to expect that they'll sit put, take a quarterback at three, knowing that you have Jacoby Brissett, can play some games for you or even play the whole year if you need. That'd probably be a good scenario for a guy like Drake May who can sit for a year and learn. And then they can.
It's not a great scenario for us, Jeremy. I got to tell you, that's not great for daily talk show. I don't know if we like that.
I don't want to watch a whole year of Brissett, but I hear what you're saying. But okay,
look, it might not be sexy, but you know,
it's definitely not.
They would have a veteran that can play. That's my point.
No, fair enough. He's Jeremy Fowler. You can check out all of his work. He's a co-author of the latest on Bill Belichick and what Robert Kraft had to say to Arthur Blank. We've been talking about that all day, up now at ESPN. You can also check out his article, Tearing Off Quarterbacks, after his conversations with scouts and decision makers around the league. You can follow him on Twitter at JFowlerESPN. Jeremy, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Awesome. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Jeremy Fowler is all our guests. Joins us on the Harbor One Hotline. So, a couple of items there. Jonathan Kraft, more hands-on day-to-day. Number two, he probably wouldn't have gotten the job in Atlanta, regardless of what Robert Kraft had to say, despite attempting to prevent Bill from getting that job, which to me is the real story. He also says the Patriots have the quarterbacks. He thinks Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, and from who he's talked to, he doesn't see the Patriots trading out of pick number three. He expects them to stick and pick, and maybe, unfortunately, play Jacoby Brissett in the meantime. We can react to that, and we'll get to your phone call, 617-779-7937. We have Meg explaining at 5:30. What's coming up there, Meggo?
Okay, unfortunately, I feel like this is not a great look for Meg explaining, and it's also becoming a little bit of a tradition. We have a post-marathon poop story that we need to address.
Okay, that's a very urgent matter that
we'll get to
right after Trending with Arkin.
Adam Jones.
Oh, I'm sorry. You like Crazy Town?
I think Crazy Town for sure.
Megan Ottolini.
I love fire.
Christian Arkin.
I love shrimp.
This is Jones and Mego with Arkin.
Let me upgrade you.
On WEEI.
To my slant, ladies and gentlemen. And the Patriots will be taking the third overall quarterback. Watch out! And the argument for J.J. McCarthy is this. He won a national championship. Played at a big program. He's got a high floor. He's smart, accurate, and a terrific leader. And you say, I just watched the accurate quarterback with big program pedigree and a high floor movie for the past 3 years. It's got a worse ending than Old Yeller. No flipping thank you. You, my friend, you have trauma. And Elliot Wolf better understand that if McCarthy is the choice, the region will recoil.
Tom E. Curran. His slant on J.J. McCarthy last night on Quick Slants.
And NBC taking
Sports
that
Boston.
Dog behind the shed when you have to.
Yeah, I mean, he does like that analogy, which, look, I have trauma with Mac Jones. How could you not? I don't want another trauma. Quarterback like Mac Jones. I do have trauma. Tom, I do. We'll talk to Tommy Curran on Friday at 3:30 here on Jones and Mega with Arkin on WEEI.
Dog in the West.
What was that?
You remember the old Yeller song?
Here, Yeller,
come back, Yeller.
Best dog on dog.
I mean,
oh, I remember that song.
Yeah, it was a great song.
I must have seen that movie when I was like 8.
I watched that movie a lot, which is a little disturbing. I mean, we've talked about this. You can't
fast forward to the dog getting shot.
Yeah, it feels on brand.
Yeah, she's like, yeah, let me watch that again.
The dog was a hero. That dog was a hero. Unlike Air Bud, who wanted to go back to his original owner. Loser dog.
I don't know that I've ever seen Air Bud. And I haven't seen Old Yeller in a good...
I have trauma with Air Bud because...
You have trauma.
We watched Air Bud at girls' basketball camp, and I started crying at the part where he's like, get out of here, Air Bud. Because he's trying to save...
Go on, get!
Yeah.
I thought that was Old Yeller. Wasn't that Old Yeller? I think that's Old Yeller.
No, it happens in a lot of dog movies.
Does Air Bud get shot?
Well, the other girls at camp made fun of me because they were like, look at her, she's crying at Air Bud.
I mean, I would have made fun of you if you cried at Air Bud.
Yeah, I definitely would have made... And I would be so insecure with myself, I would make fun of anybody for anything at that age.
Oh, Twitch chat says that we're spoiling Old Yeller.
Yeah, well, it's
that movie's only from like 1964.
No, I was gonna say an exceptionally topical reference is what I did want to get to. At least Air Bud was what, the 90s, 2000s. When was Air Bud? So you can jump in on all this. Really, your
spoiler alert: they take Air Bud behind this behind the barn too. It's a really sad ending for Air Bud.
I want to get to your specific Old Yeller takes at 617-779-7937. I want to react to Jeremy Fowler. We've talked a lot about Bill Belichick, Robert Kraft. He did say that Bill likely wouldn't have gotten the job in Atlanta, regardless of what Robert Kraft said to Arthur Blank. Fine, maybe that's the case. Robert Kraft was trying like hell to make sure Bill didn't get that job. And trashing him, saying he's untrustworthy, which he might be, and arrogant, which he definitely is. But make it known, or let it be known, that Robert Kraft wanted to make it clear he didn't want Bill to get a job. And why? That's answered in the story, because Tom already succeeded somewhere else. And if Bill does too, Robert is going to have no one else to blame. And he's going to look how I think a lot of people look at him right now, like a clown.
So do you think there's any possibility that Robert Kraft, and I removed Jonathan from this because I don't know what his friendship slash relationship with Arthur Blank is. Is there any possibility that Robert Kraft really just thought he was being honest and doing his friend a solid by being like, you won't enjoy working with this guy?
Sure, it's possible. Do you believe it?
I think there might be some shades of that.
I don't. I think he was...
Because otherwise, why is he willing to give up the whole contract? Like, basically $25 million or some part of that contract that now he still has to pay to Bill Belichick.
I just answered that. Because he doesn't want Bill to go succeed somewhere else. Yeah.
Afraid of how it's going to look?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like 1 year. And
who does he owe a solid
two
more? Bill Belichick or Arthur Blank? Like, I mean, you know, like for all the talk about it, even if their relationship was strained at the end, to campaign against him getting a job, that's like, that's awful. I mean, that's really just like an awful thing to do.
Yeah, if that's the case, you know, like I definitely think it's terrible. I'm just thinking, okay, if I'm in those shoes and someone asks me, what is it like to work with this person, especially if I've just come off a couple years of really hating working with that person, I'm going to be like, it's terrible.
Yeah. So let me deduce a couple other things that Jeremy Fowler said. And again, he's authored a lot of interesting stuff. We haven't talked a ton of quarterbacks today, but I'm happy we asked him about that because he gave us some good insight into what he thinks the Pats are doing. He says he has the Patriots. He believes, from talking to people around the league, he believes the Patriots have the quarterbacks prioritized: Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy. Wouldn't be my order, but whatever. Fine. We also know that Adam Schefter is basically telling us Jaden Daniels is going to. Mm-hmm. So assuming Schefter and Fowler are right, he also said they're not trading out. They're going to stick and pick at three. Shouldn't we be happy with all of this? It sounds like Drake May is going to be a Patriot, based on what I can figure out.
I'm absolutely happy. I loved everything he said about that.
Arcan?
I really did.
Arcan, you should hate it, actually.
Yeah,
I take
that
back.
It was like the anti-Scal.
Yeah, yeah, you should hate it. Yeah. Yeah.
I hated that as much as I liked everything Scal had to say. But, I mean, I've sort of accepted the fact that this is likely the way that it's going to go. I think that all the other stuff now about trades and potential teams trying to come up are still going to happen. I think there's still going to be offers that get made. But at this point, I mean, you know, a bunch of different trades or one major trade and the Patriots being the team to do it when they desperately need a quarterback, I've resigned myself to the fact that they're going to get one of these guys and he's going to suck.
Okay. Well, I don't know about that last part, but everything else there I liked. They're not trading out. They have Drake May ahead of J.J. McCarthy. The league thinks that they're staying at three and drafting a quarterback. Oh, and one other thing he said that I liked, J.J. McCarthy, people around the league think this may be a situation like Will Levis, where he's talked up like maybe he's a top five pick and he may go in round two. Now, I don't think McCarthy's going to go round two, but the idea that the league is starting to look at it and go, are they overinflating this prospect? And something that would back that up, another piece up now at ESPN, Matt Miller spoke to a bunch of scouts and had him do a mock draft. McCarthy didn't go in the top 10 of that. Now, Mego, you had a good theory as why, because it wasn't allowed, or trades weren't allowed, so the Vikings, Broncos, Raiders, teams like that couldn't trade up into the top 10 to take him. But maybe there is a gap there, and I hope there's a gap between someone like Drake May and J.J. McCarthy, or even Jaden Daniels and J.J. McCarthy. I hope there's a gap there in the Patriots' eyes.
I agree. I guess I'm just wondering, this is great information from Jeremy Fowler, and I'm sure he has really good information on how the league is seeing it. So why are the Patriots bringing in Penix and taking him out and all this stuff?
Penix?
We talked about this yesterday. That still just perplexes
me. So
if the Patriots truly are not going to trade out, and that is the plan, and we're sitting here 8 days away from the draft, why are they doing that?
My answer, and I think it's a waste, but my answer is I think they're doing medical checks. He has a million medical red flags. That's my answer. But if they're bringing him in to evaluate him like on his own as a quarterback prospect, then that confuses me. But my best answer is it's medical checks. 617-779-7937. We have Bet Roulette. Some picks for tonight coming up at 5:45. Let's get to, the latest serial pooper at the Boston Marathon here in Megsplaining.
Why don't you explain this to me like I am an 8-year-old?
Do you need it broken down?
It's so dumb.
Why don't you explain this to me like I'm 5?
Well, lucky for you,
I don't know how else to talk about it.
Shut up, Meg.
It's time for
Now I Let You Know.
Megsplaining.
Megsplaining.
So I'm wondering if I framed this correctly, because I was kind of like put on the spot with how to tease Megsplaining. And whenever something involves poop, like, I think you just have to be upfront about it and say that this is going to be in the story. But what we're talking about is really a story of inspiration and someone who's kind of like a motivational speaker of our time. Don't laugh.
A hero.
This is real. Some people may call him hero. Have you heard of this guy, Davis Clark? He's blowing up on Instagram, and not just because how he blew up in his running tights. So Davis Clark, GQ just wrote a whole profile on this guy because he has over 650,000 followers on Instagram. He's a normal 20-something.
Time out. He now has 650 followers?
No. This is before the marathon Monday.
And then he suspiciously pooped his pants?
Well, Oh, okay. If this is performative pooping, I'm very interested in getting there.
Well, I don't know where we're going, but
okay. Well, let me tell you about him. So Davis Clark, he's like a normal 20-something guy who works in finance in Boston, and he started rapidly accruing this following on Instagram because he does these motivational, really quick motivational selfie videos, and people start getting really into them.
Like to the Rock?
To the point that like Julian Edelman, he says this thing locked in, and Julian Edelman will comment on and be like, yeah, locked in, bro. So like, here's an example of one of the videos that he posts.
I hate this.
Here's cut one.
We are absolutely on it, ready to rip on this beautiful Monday morning. Let's have a day, people.
Okay, so he like does little things like that. He's walking around.
He got 650,000 followers doing that.
Is this a joke?
No, this is not a joke.
He's like being dead serious. This is what he does.
The Be a Man guy does more.
He's not like mocking. He's not like mocking finance bros.
Here's the thing: is sometimes he like lets you behind the curtain a little bit, even on motivational, like when he's trying to be motivational and he's speaking, he lets you know he doesn't always succeed the first time. So can we get cut to? This is a video from like 2 weeks ago.
I failed that CFA level 3 exam because I came up short. I want to say sorry to everyone because I just couldn't get it done. Sometimes in life you lose, so it's on to the next. Time to lock back in.
Okay, can I just say something?
So lock back in. That's his thing. Like lock
sounds
in.
Like Gronk.
Lock
that's
back
what I was just going to say. Does he sound like Gronk?
He looks nothing like
Gronk. Okay, but does he sound like Gronk?
Like
let me hear it
in
again.
In that video, he did.
I think the first one, too. I didn't say it in the first one, but
on it, ready to rip on this beautiful Monday morning. Let's have a day, people.
I mean, he speaks English much more successfully than Gronk, but
he's like a Gronk. Maybe not the Gronk, but like one of the Gronks.
Yeah, like, right, like Gordy.
Yeah.
Maybe not like Rob, but like, yeah, like Gordy, yeah.
Okay, so I don't know if he has some connection to the Gronk family, but his name is Davis Clark, and he's now also like, what's it called, when you get a little blue check mark? Verified on Instagram because he has so many followers.
You're verified on Instagram.
I am. Yeah. So Davis Clark decided this is how he came across my timeline, which I don't know what this says about me, but he decided to run.
A lot of finance bros.
He ran the marathon.
Lose, so it's on to the next time to lock back in.
He ran the marathon on Monday, which I don't know if you guys saw this, but it was the hottest marathon on record since 2017.
It was nice.
The year that I ran.
Yeah, it was fine. Yeah, everybody crying about how hot it was.
It was
like a nice day. Yeah, seriously. It's a good day to run.
Okay, so he checked in at the finish line like right after he finished, and he gave a motivational video in which he panned down his entire body, and here's what he said.
Gave it out to you, everything I have for the people. 256, I shit my pants like crazy. I'm going after it all day, every day for the people. 2 hours, 56 minutes, man, people.
I crap my pants for you, people. Let's lock in. I did it for you.
Can we hear it again?
I gave it out to you, everything I have for the people. 256, I shit my pants like crazy. I'm going after it all day, every day for the people. 2 hours, 56 minutes, man, people.
So he ran it in under 3 hours, which is a very fast time. But he pans down his legs. He's got like little short running shorts on. His legs are covered in blood and his own feces.
Yeah, it was bloody poo. Yeah.
You saw this video?
It was bloody poo, or was he bleeding from something else? People's nipples will bleed if they're not like.
Yeah,
wearing, you know,
I
like,
had assumed that he was bleeding from chafing.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
That his shorts or something. That because here's the thing that
you're not
like,
supposed to run in those short shorts. That's what I was going to ask.
The other thing is, well, you can run in the short shorts, but what you have to do that nobody
underneath.
Really talks about is you buy something called Body Glide, and anywhere that clothing touches your body,
yeah, we know about Body
you
Glide.
Put Body Glide all over, and you have to also put it between anything that might cause friction in your body.
Yeah, crevices.
Things that are extending outward and slapping around.
That too.
You're saying it lubricates.
Yeah, because if it just is like slap, 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 then that's going to chafe, and I've heard that's very sensitive, and that can hurt a lot.
Interesting. There's got to be, we must be talking about other people if it's running around going slap, 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 but whatever. Not the point. So, I think I did an about face on this guy. I think all of a sudden I like him talking about booming him. He won me over with that simple line there.
I don't know how I feel about
my pants for the people.
I don't know how I feel about him posing it as like, I did this for you because I motivate you. My whole thing is about motivating everyone. I had to run the marathon in under 3 hours. And for that reason, he says he bleeped his pants like crazy, which is also like not a normal thing to do during the marathon. We need to stop normalizing pooping on people's front lawns and pooping your pants during the marathon.
Mega, what happens every year? It is a normal thing.
It's not a normal thing. It's not normal.
Stuck up.
It is not normal. Like,
how's the weather up there on your
part
high
horse? Part of marathon training is getting your nutrition and your hydration together.
And then expelling it out of
your
body.
So that doesn't happen to you on race day.
People are like airplanes. It's just, they just open up the hatch. It just goes wherever it goes. It's just,
it really
like airplanes.
Doesn't.
Yeah.
There's porta potties all along. Like, every mile, there's a porta potty.
Say that again. Say that again.
Porta potty.
Yeah, that's not what
you said. Porter potty twice.
Porter
two times.
Potty.
2 times you said that.
Okay, whatever. It's not a normal thing.
Regional accents all over the place.
Like, you need to run in there, take care of business, run back out. It might add, like, if it's that desperate of a situation, it's going to add, like, 15 seconds to your time.
Yeah, well, Davis Clark isn't going
to
risk that.
Yeah, he's trying to break 3 hours.
He's doing it. He's locked in.
He broke 3 hours because he did it for the people.
I need this from the real journalist at GQ who wrote a whole profile on Davis Clark a couple weeks ago.
We are absolutely on it, ready to rip on this beautiful Monday morning.
Ready to rip her.
He was ready to rip. You need
rip
to
ass.
Follow up because... Also, I didn't think that you were allowed to show that on Instagram.
Ooh, I don't know. Maybe if you're
am I being a narc right now?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Maybe if you got a blue check mark.
Can we also go back to Jones's initial theory that this was a performative fake pooping?
Yeah.
That this was a crisis actor pooping?
You think he, like, put some, like, piece of chocolate in his pants?
I'm just saying, you don't get 650,000 Instagram followers just running the marathon. You do if you poop yourself. So
well,
I'm saying
he had it from before.
Saying,
from
right, but
cool,
saying he had it before,
cool
yeah.
Right, but he has
speaking.
The I'm saying he has the social media instincts to do those sort of instincts. to do those sorts of things.
Yeah.
You don't, you know, like you don't amass that type of following unless you have outside the box ideas.
So gross out, think,
like, hey,
out
I'm running the marathon. Think, if I poop myself, I'll get a lot of attention for this. It's true. Well, am I wrong?
Oh, you're not. I mean, I had this theory 10 minutes ago. Yeah.
He's
no.
stuffing like ketchup packets and chocolate in his little shorts.
No.
And they're exploding as he's slapping
he's
down
just,
the trail.
Maybe he's just actually doing it on purpose.
You think that he just fueled his body to poop down the marathon course?
Yeah, maybe.
It's not worth
it. I think there was a fake poop apparatus.
Well, we're talking about it.
He's pooping.
Like a Whizinator?
Right. Yes, exactly. A
so
poopinator.
You're saying he was pooping for clout?
Yes.
That's what I was saying. Yeah. That's what I've been saying. Yeah.
Pooping for clout.
I gotta tell you,
I think there's something to that. Yeah.
Even if he is, the guy won me over with that. I didn't think I liked him until I heard that one video, but you know what? He won me over. What's in the profile? What did they even talk about in GQ? Like, what's even in there? They're like, he's a finance bro from,
they're
from Boston who makes boring Instagram videos.
I want to say sorry to everyone because I just couldn't get it done.
Like, that's it? That's all
it's
it is?
The profile is how Davis Clark became the most locked-in man on the internet.
So what's the answer? He just makes videos and
people love his motivational
sometimes
videos.
Sometimes in life you lose, so it's on to the next. Time to lock back in.
I think if they don't go with a quarterback, if the
that
Drake
sounds
May
like
or Cal Williams is...
No, I mean, again, he's mastered the English language.
He's from Winchester.
Oh. Okay.
Apparently, Boston.com also wrote about him. So he's like a really big influencer these days.
That's true.
And I'm just worried that people are going to be like, oh, okay, I'm going to run a marathon. It's totally normal that my pants are going to explode with poop everywhere.
It's going to be like the new trend, like Davis Clarking.
Yes.
Everybody's just running and pooping at the same time.
Yes. People are going to be doing it at like 5Ks. It's going to be ridiculous.
Hashtag Davis Clarking.
It's an unfun run now.
Gave it out to you, everything I have for the people. 256, I shit my pants like crazy. I'm going after it all day, every day for the people. 256 million people.
You're just like running like a 5K.
You know, butt right there in Boston.
256 million people.
I mean, that's true. That was very Gronk-esque.
Doing like a fun run, all of a sudden there's like 10 like 20-year-olds in front of you. Like, hey, let's Davis Clark this one, you guys.
Oh, no.
You know, all over your shoes.
They're like, who's running in front of us? Is that Davis Clark? Oh, no. Oh, no.
And he's like, I'm doing it for the people. I'm doing it for the people.
I got something locked into the soles of my shoe now. I got to sit down and take them off.
I got to tell you something. This is not going to be the end of Davis Clark in Megsplaining.
We are absolutely on it, ready to rip on this beautiful Monday morning.
I need to do a deep dive on this person.
Sounds like Keanu Reeves in a Point Break.
I can't imagine he's allowed back in Winchester after an incident like this. But anyway, that's Megsplaining. Each and every day at this time here on
Stone. And guess who commented? Oh, Dude Wipes is on it. We got your wipes, bro.
McAfee, gotta be.
No, Dude Wipes, the thing commented on it.
It
was like,
did.
Yeah, we got your wipes, bro. For all the blood and poop on your legs, we're here. Yeah,
failed that CFA level 3 exam.
We should have led with that. It was product placement. That's what this whole thing was about. Yeah. They probably paid him. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Monday at Davis Clark, even though I sneaky like you now. That's Meg explaining each and every day at this time. We'll get to Bet Roulette.
Yeah, knows how to sell a wife.
Picks for tonight, Meg.
That's weird, right? It's weird.
Yes.
I'm just embracing it.
Jones and Mego. Nah, you're right. It's weird.
I was talking to some of our friends on the Netflix production about that very thing with Tristan Casas. Somebody asked him, you know, you seem very good with the media. Why is that? He said, I think the media has a really hard job, and I figure if I give them something interesting to say, that it'll help them.
And he does give us plenty of interesting notes. He's stealing third here. Here's the throw, and he's going to be out.
There's no excuse. You know, he knows it. You know, he just took off. We cannot push the envelope that way. You know, we cannot do it. That's the bottom line. You know, 27 outs are too valuable in this game. And the same way we talk about defense, like we cannot give the opposition 27 outs, we cannot do the same offensively. You know, we only have 27, especially, you know, against teams like this, you know, so we have to take care of it. And he talked to Huddy, you know, like, man, I just trying to do too much in that situation.
That is just not even in the galaxy of a good baseball play.
No, no, it was not. That's Wolf Fleming last night on WEEI. You can catch game 3 of the Red Sox and Guardians tonight as we're live today inside our Ford Clubhouse Fenway studio. They look to hopefully salvage a split. Not really crossing my fingers for them to do so based on the way they've started this series. We talked to Alex Cora earlier in the show, Red Sox manager. He joins us every Wednesday. If you missed any of it, Audacy app, AUDACY, free, easy. Get it on your phone. Use the rewind feature. He was forthcoming about Rafael Devers. He said there's a chance Devers would be in the lineup DHing here tonight. He's in the lineup, I believe, at DH, right? So he's in there tonight as opposed to taking a day off. But he told us no IL stint. He's going to be in there. He was less than truthful, I think, about Garrett Whitlock. He kind of downplayed anything about Garrett Whitlock. And now Whitlock's on the IL.
I don't have a lineup for the Red Sox yet.
I just saw he's in. I thought I saw that. Perhaps I'm wrong. Hang on. Efforting. Maybe it was a... somebody linking to our store?
See, I think it maybe would have been better to get Cora, like, right now, so we could ask him how he's going to react when Tristan Casas Davis Clark's his way around the bases tonight.
Maybe. Pete Abraham has the lineup. Whitlock to IL, Devers will DH tonight.
Okay.
So I don't know if I have a full lineup, but that's at least what Abraham said. That backs up what Cora, or half of what Cora told us. The other half was, if not a lie, it was a lie by omittance. We asked about it. We asked about Garrett Whitlock and what his situation was, and he made it sound like it was fine. But he's on the IL, so perhaps it's like Pivetta. Have we had any updates on Pivetta? Maybe that's another guy we're circling back to, where he's on the IL, but he's expected to be back quickly. I would think there's still long-term concerns with a guy having elbow issues, but add Garrett Whitlock to that list as well. And again, at least it's not an arm issue. It's an oblique, which means he's going to the IL, but at least it's not his arm. You can jump in line for Rich Keith. He's got a quick sprint up to the Red Sox and Cleveland tonight, 617-779-7937. Let's get to some picks for tonight. Hopefully better than last night in Bet Roulette.
All right, I'm going to give you a choice. You can either have the money and the hammer, or you can walk out of here. You can't have both. You don't f*** around in this place. You got it?
Boo! Boo! That's it! Gambling!
Bet Roulette brought to you by Cars for Kids. Easy way to donate your car. You can donate today. Your car will be picked up tomorrow. 877-CARS for Kids or donate online, carsforkids.com. Remember, that's Cars with a K. I lost last night. Bruins puck line. I don't remember what you guys had, but I know we all lost.
I had under 8.5. It was over by the sixth inning.
That's true. A lot of runs last night. A lot of runs.
I forget what Mego said, but he was wrong, too.
Mego had the Warriors by 3.
Oh, yeah, that was terrible. Oops, my bad.
I'm with you.
Ryan, you watched the Kings? I'm like, yeah, they're really good. Okay, Warriors by 3.
I had Warriors money line last night. Didn't work out, so what are you going to do? All right, Arkham, why don't you roll for
all right,
there?
Mego's first roll and only roll is a 5, and that is the Hawks and the Bulls tonight. The game is in Chicago. The Hawks are 3-point road dogs. What say you, Mego?
Oh, my gosh. This is like the opposite of last night. I think I'm going to go with the Hawks. I like DeJounte Murray. Give me the Hawks. 3-point road dogs. Sticking my neck out a little bit here. I will take the Hawks.
All right. Very good. Mego likes Atlanta. Jones's roll is a 2. And that is for the Guardians and the Red Sox tonight. Same as last night. An over-under of 8.5. 8.5 runs, Jones. Over-under.
I'm trying to just size up the weather out there. It's a little chilly.
It is. It's going to be cold tonight. It's going to be in the 40s.
The air doesn't feel thick, but I'm going to go with under 8.5 runs. Give me the under on 8.5 runs. They went way over last night. Give me the under on 8.5 runs tonight. Chilly out there. They're going to feel it in their bats.
It is. All right, let's get to my roll. That is a 6, and that is Tanner Houck strikeouts over under 4.5. It's plus money on the over, which, I don't know. I feel like I've been losing a lot of bets when I go for the juice. So I'm going to go play this one safe and say under 4.5 for Tanner Houck. He had a tough outing last time and got knocked around a little bit. And I don't know. I mean, the Red Sox, Whitlock have one strikeout. The Guardians don't strike out a lot. So I'm going to go ahead and say under 4.5.
That's true. Corey did say they put the ball in play. That's what they do.
They do. So there you go. We got Atlanta plus 3.5 tonight against Chicago. Under on 8.5 runs. Under on Tanner Houck strikeouts, 4.5 of them. We have a total for that.
Plus 588.
Ugh, why even bother?
Yeah.
Why even bother?
It's not enough. Not enough wet in our
boots. I mean, that
there,
over
that plus 588.
Houck strike. You 4.5. I mean, if I do that real quick. I mean, that's 538 also.
Oh.
Not great.
Well, oh, there you go.
Great
odds
either way.
Neither one. What are you going to do? Maybe we'll actually hit on one for once. That's Bet Roulette each and every day at this time. Stay tuned for Rich Keefe. You can dial us up, 617-779-7937, or dial him up, rather. And we'll talk to you tomorrow after the Red Sox and Guardians. Hopefully it's not a sweep. That's tomorrow here on WEEI.
That's the pumpkin market. I don't know this song.
And the card inside would say, thank you for being a friend.
Slap, 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 slap. Then that's going to chafe. And I've heard that's very sensitive and that can hurt a lot.
Interesting.